Hey everybody, welcome back to Rugby Wrap-Up at the Fantasy Sports Network Studio 34 on West 35th Street in New York City. Matt McCarthy and Junois Blaber, the Rugby Rain Man, a fellow New York Rugby Club member, and also he is of the Niagara University squad. That's why he's
Dead
got
Pheasant
the
Rugby.
Dead Pheasant Rugby. He's got the New York and the Dead Pheasant thing there. And Mr. Ronan Nelson. Ronan has been writing for Rugby Wrap-Up for a little over 3 years now and will start his junior year at UCLA next month. He's a rugby nut, has Irish parents, and was fake studying last semester at Trinity College in Dublin, where he managed to attend Six Nations games and Pro 12 matches every 30 seconds. Is that not accurate, Ronan?
That is completely true, but I was studying rugby while I was at those games.
Excellent. So you weren't completely fake studying.
No, not entirely.
Okay, good. We've got an international flavor with you, my friend, and let's get right to the Women's Rugby World Cup. Team USA performing lights out. No matter what happens in this tournament, they've already doubled up the men's Rugby World Cup teams in history in wins with 2-1 already, right?
Absolutely amazing. The level that they've played at is beyond what they've had in the last 3 years, almost as though they've been inspired by this new World Cup. The intensity they've played with is light years better than what they've played in the past.
And Junior, the scheduling does not favor them. It's been ridiculous for the women across the board.
Well, the scheduling is what World Rugby does to the minnows. They did it to the men in the Men's World Cup. They do it to everybody. Unless
I got to stop you there, because in this World Cup, it's for all the women are playing a ridiculously short period of time, all these matches.
Well, yeah, because it's what they do with women's rugby. We've been over this. The women's sevens, it's always treated like a second-class citizen. What it is.
But it's just crazy, Ronan. I mean, you've brought up off camera that it's because they're in the same location. That's pretty much the excuse, the limited travel. But still, this is 15's rugby. You need time to recover.
I think it's incredible that considering they're playing a Thursday-Sunday schedule, it means they have Friday, Saturday to recover before their next game on Sunday, and then they only have 3 days to recover before their next game the following Thursday. Even for being in the same location, it's unacceptable for these women who are at the top level in their sport to be playing games this close to each other in the space of 2 weeks before then being expected to go on and play in playoff rugby. It's horrible for them.
Well, just been watching these matches, and they've been so exciting. And you can't help but just root for all of them, because they're playing all teams across the board and playing against the odds. You know, that one ruck changed the whole complexion of that New Zealand-Hong Kong match, the 121-0 game. Just that one ruck changed the whole complexion of that match.
Well, I mean, if you look at the fact, too, that they didn't get a lot of matches in between the World Cups as compared to their European counterparts, they've been really impressive. The way they just rolled Italy, despite not getting nearly as much game time or preparation, because we're, 10 times the size of Italy or something like that?
Yeah, that's true. I'm just amazed that you just completely glossed over the fact that I said the one ruck changed the 121-0 match. The poor Hong Kong women had to play against New Zealand. Come on, man. I think Portia Woodman had about 75 tries. That aside, we've got a minute left. What can we do to help these women, you know, get it out there that this is unacceptable, this kind of scheduling? Ronan?
Honestly, I can't really answer that question very well, because it all comes down to World Rugby. Well, I mean, people proposed all sorts of scheduling changes for the Tier 2 men's nations when they had this scheduling debacle during the last World Cup as well, and you can see that World Rugby has decided to go with some sort of more global schedule in the next couple of years, but even still, it hasn't really fully addressed that Tier 2 scheduling discrepancy.
Yeah.
So it's not something that's going to come anytime soon. I can almost guarantee that World Rugby is not going to take into account the scheduling problems with this World Cup come next World Cup. That's my prediction. I don't think it'll come for another 2 or 3 World Cups at this stage until the sport becomes popular enough that people get angry about it and start advocating for it on a mass scale.
I think we just got to start advocating now, and hopefully you yell long enough and maybe there'll be some change.
Well, we're advocating right here, right now, so that's a start. But we have to take a break. We'll be right back. Junois Blaber, the Rugby Rain Man, and Mr. Ronan Nelson with Matt McCarthy on Rugby Wrap-Up.
If you're just joining us, this is a big match and a big moment as Clijsters toes the line.
You know, John, Anderson has really been struggling out there today. Huge mistake as Clijsters clinches another title. Don't let your nutrition get in the way. USANA, the official multivitamin of the WTA.
From around the globe, legends are arriving at Rugby Town USA. 20 teams, including the Olympic gold medal rugby champions Fiji. Rugby Town Sevens, August 25th through the 27th at Infinity Park in Glendale, Colorado. Tickets at RugbyTownSevens.com.
Matt McCarthy back at Studio 34, the Fantasy Sports Network, with Junois Bleber, the Rugby Rayman, and Mr. Ronan Nelson calling in. Gentlemen, briefly, we got to talk about the Pro 14. We spoke about it with Blaine Scully in a previous segment, but the thing is, these teams are saying they're bringing £6 million with them north, right? But that's not necessarily the accurate depiction here. Ronan, how is that £6 million going to be divvied up?
Well, the £6 million itself is already a big boost if you look at the league as a whole, but considering that there are 12 teams in the league already, they have to divvy it up. So about £500,000 each will be distributed to each of those previous 12 teams, which in the grand scope of things isn't very much considering all of their operating costs and considering they're now going to have to take travel to South Africa into account.
Bingo.
That's a lot of rand.
Yeah, that's a lot of rand. A lot of rand. So basically, when they're saying £6 million are going to be pumped into the teams, it's £500,000 each, right?
Yeah, £500,000 per team. And then that's going to influence the salary cap, not this season, but the following season, from what I can decipher.
So what happens to these cash-poor teams from South Africa that were forced out of that league because they weren't making any money and they're only getting £500,000?
Well, what the South African Rugby Union is hoping is that they're going to be able to transfer some more Springboks from the four teams that are in Super Rugby already, the Stormers, Bulls, Lions, and
Sharks.
Sharks, right? Just to make it more attractive.
Exactly,
for fans.
Yeah, so the Cheetahs and the Southern Kings both averaged 7,000 and 8,000 fans, respectively, over the last two seasons in Super Rugby. Those are horrible numbers considering they play in 48,000 and 49,000 person stadiums. So they're trying to be able to move those Springbok national team players over to these teams to try and get more of an attendance figure out there, because those teams are horribly cash strapped. They need more people to come out to their games to be able to raise revenues from ticket sales.
Bingo. All right, fellas, we have to end with our new segment, Stump the Rugby Rain Man. We have a question for the Rugby Rain Man, Junois Bleber. And this is from Alec Mills from San Diego, who is currently playing rugby for Tim O'Brien at St. Mary's College. He's a master of mundane trivia, and he's a huge Disney movie fan. He's got this for you, Mr. Bleber. Mm-hmm. Sonny Bill Williams became the third All Black to ever be red carded in a match in the second test against the British and Irish Lions. Can you name the first two All Blacks and the matches?
Yes, interesting enough. The two other red cards were against teams from the British Isles. Karen Brownlee got one against England in 1925, and Colin Pinetree Meads got one against Scotland in 1967.
Wow. All right. Okay, Mr. Fancy Pants, we have time for one more question. Nick the Greek of the New York Rugby Club and the New York Knights Rugby League team says that the British and Irish Lions drew this last epic series, but can you name the last time the Lions had a winning series against the All Blacks?
The last time was the first time, 1971. So, and currently the Lions are 1-1-10 in their series against New Zealand. Now, before I go, I want to give you fans a little rugby nugget that a lot of people don't know. For the first time ever, the Dutch rugby team is ranked higher than the Dutch football team, or soccer, as we call it here. Dutch rugby is ranked at 33rd. Dutch football is ranked 36th.
We don't talk soccer on Rugby Wrap Up. There's the bell. It was just a matter of time. With that, ladies and gentlemen, and on behalf of Mr. Ronan Nelson, who's calling in, and Mr. Junois Bleber, the Rugby Rayman, and Mr. Blaine Scully, and Mr. Lou Stanfill, Matt McCarthy for Rugby Wrap Up at the Studio 34 Sports Fantasy Network Studio. signing off.
Made by Scully, the fullback coming off.